Blog Talk Radio.
It is hot in Bakersfield and the Central Valley. My name is Mark Hefferman. Welcome to Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Hefferman, thus Markman Madness, MMM. Our number 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Mark and I tried to talk about this before going on the air. What about that brawl at the Big A yesterday between the sub-500 Angels and the under-500 Seattle Mariners? I didn't know they had a rivalry. And what's with this guy, Winker, for the Mariners, acting like a tough dude, another wannabe tough guy? So he gets hit by a pitch on his leg, and that was after the Mariners threw at Walsh, threw at his head, Walsh for the Angels, and threw at a pitch at the head of Mike Trout. And I think Walsh was hit in the helmet, and the fastball up and in to Trout didn't hit him, but of course he had to get out of the way. But why are you throwing at Walsh, and why are you throwing at Mike Trout? Walsh, a left-handed batter, and Trout, you know, a right-handed batter. I mean, Mike Trout is having a great season. When he's healthy, he's, you know, one of the best players in Major League Baseball. Mike Trout's been a solid player for many years. He doesn't really cause any problems or anything at all. He's a very cool dude. So why are you throwing out a guy like him? And then Angels came back and threw at this Winker guy, but they hit him in the – he's a left-handed batter, hit him in the right thigh, and he starts mouthing off and running after people. What was amazing is that Anthony Rendon, who plays for the Angels, he's out for the season. He's had a bad year anyway. And Winker got into it with him. And Rendon's not even playing. And Winker goes to the Angels dugout and doing this, doing that. And then he goes, as he goes back to the Seattle Mariners dugout, he flips off some of the people in the stands. Obviously, Angel fans, kind of a double flip off. Now, he apologized for that, but said he wasn't going to apologize for anything else. My question is, what's up with that? What's with the animosity between the two teams? You know, Phil Nevin is interim GM with the Angels and not their other manager, Madden, who was fired, former Chicago Cubs and Tampa Bay Rays manager. So you have pretty much the same team for the Angels as you had earlier. Remember, they had a long losing streak, and they're kind of hanging in there, but they're under 500. They're in third place in their division behind Houston and Texas. And then you have the Mariners, who I picked to finish first or maybe second in the American League West, and they've been horrendous this season. So maybe there's a lot of frustration there. I don't understand. That's like the worst summit fight in Major League Baseball this year. A lot of guys involved, guys throwing punches, either sucker punches or regular punches. It's just really kind of bizarre to me because neither of the team is really going anywhere. It's not like the Dodgers and Giants or the Yankees and Boston Red Sox. I mean, Seattle's in the Pacific Northwest. Angels are in Anaheim. Neither team's really winning. Both have been disappointing. What's really the big deal? And here's the whole thing. Why are you throwing at Mike Trout in a game at Angel Stadium? You play for Seattle. You're on the road. See, you don't throw at Mike Trout. You should never throw at Mike Trout. But the fact is, why are you throwing at Mike Trout in a game at the Big A? Number one player there, one of the top players in baseball, the guy makes all the money and having a fine year. Pitching hasn't held up, which is usually the case with them. But when you're a visiting team, you throw at Mike Trout in front of the Angels fans. It's not really a good thing, so that's really pretty weak. Jonathan Mathis, our guest today on Markman Madness, and so we'll be talking to him in about 8 minutes. From Cerritos High School in Southern California, in the Cal State Fullerton, majoring in journalism and communications. 347-205-9631 is our number. Okay, let's say, hey, Mark, are you the president of the Angels? Trout is a joke. He needs to be traded. No, I'm not the president of the Angels. Yes, I think that he should be traded for maybe a couple pitchers, maybe a position player. But the Angels need, they have Shohei Ohtani. They like that star power. It is still Los Angeles, Southern Cal. And so sometimes instead of getting two or three players that can really help your team in various capacities, the Angels and the Dodgers will go after that, you know, one star's name because they need stars in Los Angeles or in the area. Bill from Visalia. No, I'm not the president of the Angels. I'm not necessarily a big Angels fan. So, yeah, let's see. Russ from Bakersfield. Your show is awesome. Replace the idiots here. Winker, yes, that's right. Winker, Jesse Winker, has been, he should get a 30-game suspension, the guy for Seattle who was going off on that. What else do we say? Okay, let's see. Darius from Spokane, Washington. The Angels are the idiots. My Mariners will see your Dodgers in World Series. No, I disagree with you there, Darius. I have nothing against the Mariners, but you don't throw at the head of two players for the Angels. Who are you calling an idiot? The Mariners started that. They threw at Walsh, threw at his head. I played baseball. I don't like anybody throwing at my head. And they threw at Mike Trout. So the only idiots are the pitchers for the Mariners. Angels, of course, guys, they come back, but the Angels did not throw at Winker's head. They threw at his leg. He's the one that got pissed off. So I disagree with you there. And the Mariners are not going anywhere this year. They're not going to meet the Yankees in the World Series. You can forget about that. So I disagree with you on that. Anna Huntington Beach. Hey, Mark, get your popcorn ready. Padres, Dodgers. Four-game set starts Thursday. That brawl was uncalled for. That Winker throwing the bird at fans. What's up with that? Now, he apologized, and that's the only thing he apologized for. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know what the fans are saying to him. And so he's kind of he was very upset. He lost his cool. A lot of players did, and they do think they shouldn't do, and they're sorry for it later. So who knows what the fan said to him? I don't really know that. But as a pro athlete, you have it's like being an umpire. You have to take abuse sometimes, and you know, it's always necessary to dish it out to the fans who pay a lot of money to watch you guys play. You know, it's a privilege to play in Major League Baseball, and fans want to go there to watch their players play, and I don't say that the fans have a right to say whatever they want to say. You look in the NBA, and sometimes the fans go over the top with their comments to the players. Because in basketball, the fans are very close to the action. And so players can hear everything they say. Of course, the fans in baseball are farther away because you have your diamond, then you have your foul grounds, and then you have, you know, where the people sit. And they're far away from home plate along the first base side and third base side, left and right field. So, I don't know what was said to Winker, but, yeah, he was over the top there. As far as the suspension for him, I'm not really sure. Maybe. I don't think he'll get a 30-game suspension. I don't know if you give a player suspension for flipping off fans, but we'll see what happens there. But, like I said, I have no problem with pitchers throwing high and tight to batters. I don't like it when pitchers are headhunters and are throwing at guys' heads and helmets. And thank God that Walsh was wearing a helmet. And thank God that Mike Trout had a helmet on, because even if the ball grazes off the helmet, it's going to cushion a little bit of that blow. And there's been some other instances this year throughout Major League Baseball where guys were hitting head, and thank God that they were actually wearing a helmet with a flap on, you know, the inside. The right-handed batter, the flap's on the left over the left ear. A left-handed batter, the flap's over the right ear. So that does protect them to a certain degree. So we'll see what happens, you know, after this. By the way, Nathan MacKinnon had a goal and an assist. Arturi Lehkonen slapped in a goal as the Colorado Avalanche beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-1 to capture the Stanley Cup title in Tampa Bay. The Avalanche, they won 9 of 10 games on road ice. That is very impressive. 9 of 10 games on the road. Outstanding regular season for the Avalanche. Played extremely well in the playoffs, very much like Golden State, where they won their last two games in the championship on the road. And they always talk about, you know, great teams in any sport are those who can win away from home. And, you know, they lost at home, won on the road there to close it out in six. I picked them in five games, won it in six, and had to come from behind yesterday. So there was one game, but they won in blowout fashion. I think it was game two. The others could have gone either way between Tampa Bay and Colorado. A great season for Tampa Bay, trying to three-peat. And they get to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they gave it all they could. But Colorado just a little bit better, a little faster, a little hungrier. But what a great run for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They went two straight and just come up short trying to go for three in a row. Nobody really wins three in a row anymore in sports because of salary caps and free agency and things like that. So kudos to Tampa Bay for giving all they could. And definitely kudos to the Colorado Avalanche from Denver, Colorado, as they win the Stanley Cup. Great playoff games, by the way. Ole Miss was the last team to enter the NCAA postseason. Sunday, Brandon Johnson struck out Sebastian Arguino, claimed the program's first baseball title of a 4-2 win against Oklahoma. The Rebels swept the Sooners. You know, Ole Miss in the Super Regionals was the underdog against Southern Miss. Southern Miss was ranked higher. And in that two-game series, it's best of three, Ole Miss swept Southern Miss in two games. They had back-to-back shutouts. And that really got them going as they entered the College World Series, Men's College World Series. Okay, my question to you, what was your favorite sports moment? What was your favorite sports moment this weekend? Your favorite sports moment? 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Now, my favorite sports moment, yesterday, watching the Dodgers come back from being down 2-0 late to tie the game, then actually winning in extra innings. The Dodgers actually won a game in extra innings. Braves tied it up. Dodgers went ahead 3-2. Braves tied it up. Dodgers won 5-3. Trey Turner had a big hit there. Of course, Freddie Freeman, obviously, as you know, used to play with the Atlanta Braves. It was a very emotional Friday night when they gave him his World Series ring from last year, former MVP for Atlanta, and, of course, World Series champion. Also, a big hit by Trace Thompson, Trey Thompson's brother, had a line drive off the glove of Olsen. That drove him the two runs to tie the game at 2-2. And then, of course, Chris Taylor had two big hits down the stretch for the Dodgers, and Gratterall pitched very well. Gave him a two-run home run the day before as L.A. lost 5-3. Yesterday, he did very well in that last inning as the Dodgers won and beat the Braves 2-3. So that was my favorite sports moment. The Dodgers showed a lot of guts coming back, being down 2-0, not really hitting the ball, tying the game up, and then eventually winning it. Okay, who are the All-Stars on your favorite Major League Baseball team? The All-Stars on your favorite Major League Baseball team. Sal from Germantown, Pennsylvania. Bryce Harper got plunked. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. Phillies need help. We'll be like the Athletics. Jonathan is in okay. Mesa, Arizona. Love the Tigers. Diamondback series here. Nice interleague play. Okay, let's go to the man from Southern California. Went to Cerritos High School. Did some education at Cal State Fullerton. Journalistic. Communications major. He's on the podcast called All Sports, All Plays, ASAP. He is Jonathan Mathis. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Mark? How are you doing, my man? It's a pleasure to be back on this show as always. Always looking forward to it.
Hey, man, are you related to Judge Mathis? He has a reality show, Judge Mathis.
I have heard of Judge Mathis, and it's interesting that you say that because he's from Texas, and half of my family is in Texas, if not California.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're related, but that's how my nickname kind of came about, the sports judge, thanks to him.
Oh, okay.
I changed it up. I was going to originally call myself Judge Mathis, but I said, you know what, this don't sound original, so let me change it up a bit, and that's how I became the sports judge.
Right on. Well, you know, I've watched his program on TV before. I didn't realize he had a reality show. I saw a commercial for it yesterday, and his kids were saying that he's a lot different than he is on the bench. I mean, he's kind of a cool guy behind the bench, but the reality show kind of shows him away from being, you know, the judge, just be a regular guy, regular dad, grandpa and everything. And he has a great time in his regular life. So so I get a chance to watch the show, but I didn't realize that he had – the reality show, but it looks like it's pretty good. So there I thought of him, and, you know, Jonathan Mathis coming aboard. So I figured, you know, your dad was from Texas, and I know that Father's Day was tough for you. And Father's Day is still tough for me. My father passed away late in 2001. My mom died early in 2002, you know, a long time ago. Time has flown. I have two kids. They're 25 and 23 now. So I get pretty emotional on Father's Day because of the fact I have kids and because of my dad, who was basically – my hero, just like your dad was your hero, and your father was not around as long for you. I was in my late 40s and my dad passed away, but, you know, he was my first coach, and my dad was a Hall of Fame football player at St. Mary's in Moraga, and also played baseball there, played some semi-pro football, played for Great Lakes, and was a very good overall athlete. He was my first coach, my mentor, and I worked for him, and he was in the car business for a while, cleaning cars, and then in a different department and things like that, so... And I love both my parents, but I was closer to my dad than my mom. No knock my mom. It's just that in our family, I think my brother and I kind of lean more towards dad than my two sisters more towards my mom. My mom was a tough one, though. My dad was a former athlete. My dad, yes, my sisters, my dad was kind of a pushover, but you did not want to get him upset. I think I saw my dad upset about four times in my life, and I said, I ain't going there. And one time, as I was in grade school, and these guys were talking about their fathers, and they referred their fathers as their old men. You know, and you're talking about punks like about 9 or 10 years old. And for some reason, I guess I tried to be cool, and I referred to him as my old man. And I don't know how he heard about that. I don't know if he was at school. For some, he found out that I called him that. I only called him that one time in my life. That was like total disrespect. And then there was another time, and it was my fault. I did something wrong. He got on my case pretty good and pretty sad. I was a good kid for the most part. My brother, different story. My brother and my dad were tight to a certain degree, but they had their differences. My brother and my dad would be playing basketball, you know, one-on-one. They practically get into a fight half the time. My brother's just he was a very strong competitor, but he didn't know how to kind of keep himself held back. He had the same problem when he was in high school. He got kicked out of – he knows. He got kicked off a lot of teams because he said uncomplimentary words to the coaches a lot. We're talking about going back to the late 60s and everything. He had the talent, but he didn't have the character. And I don't know where he got that from, that kind of attitude, because my dad was very laid back. I'm pretty much laid back for the most part. My mom, you know, a little bit in your face, but I don't recall my sisters not that way. I don't know where he came up with his attitude, which got him into trouble a lot in high school as far as he kind of implored guys to fight him, and he got his butt kicked a few times by guys that were older. So I was afraid to go to the same public school he went to because I thought they're going to know my last name, you know, Heffernan, and I'm not like my brother, but those guys don't really care. And so they sent me to parochial school, Garces, sent me to a smaller school. I mean, I think my parents were a little bit scared for me. So he didn't really – he wasn't the greatest role model for me back then. He's changed a lot, but his mouth got him into a lot of trouble when he was growing up, and it kept him from playing a lot of sports. It's not because he didn't have the talent. He had the talent because I remember growing up, you know, he'd pitch 7 innings, JBA, minor league ball, you know, growing up between the age of 10 and 15. Many games he had like 14, 15 strikeouts in 7 innings. And I kind of pitched and played short. The most I ever pitched was maybe 5 innings. I was more like a two-way player. I think the most I ever struck out was maybe 10 in 6 innings. I wasn't that big and strong. Then he hurt his arm later on, but a lot of his problem was the attitude and the mouth. I still can figure out where he got that from because none of the rest of us in the family were that way. And, you know, like I said, you miss your dad. He died years ago. And I was telling you, I made a comment to you about hold that girl really tight, you know, your daughter. And I know sometimes you get really depressed about things that you lost your dad at a young age, but you still have your mom. You still have your lady. Yes. You have your daughter. Yes. And those people are looking up to you right now. It's like you're the man now.
Yeah,
so you
absolutely.
Got, even though you're a guy and you're going to have emotions, you got to be strong for them. So, you know, your roles have changed as you've gotten older, just like mine have.
Right. And, you know, I really love it. I mean, I cherish every moment. You know, it's awesome. It's an awesome feeling to be a dad. And to be, you know, there for a lovely little girl that's constantly growing by the day, you know. So, I consider myself lucky to have her in my life. And, you know, it's been a cool experience as time goes. And I know it's only going to get better as time goes. And I'm looking forward to creating those lifelong memories that I will be able to cling on to for a very, very long time.
Jonathan Mathis on MMM today, our number 347-205-9631. I'm Mark Heffernan. Tell us about the All Sports, All Plays ASAP podcast that you're on. Are you guys just talk about a variety of sports on that show?
Yes, we talk about everything on that network. It's a fast-growing network. It's a network that's on the rise. A lot of people are tuning in, you know, and I recommend your viewers and everybody that's listening, check us out. I mean, we post some of the best commentary out there in sports. We got you covered. I mean, if you like baseball, we got baseball content for you. If you like basketball, we got basketball content for you. If you like football, we got football content for you. If you like hockey, we got that too. So, I mean, you know, it's been a lot of fun, Mark, to be a part of that network. I'm truly humble and great and grateful to be a part of a team that has a sense of direction and know where they want to go. And that's the beauty of it, right? You know, everyone has to be on the same page, and a lot of people are talented in a variety of ways, and everyone there has done a great job. It's a platform where we can maximize our talent, and a lot of us have done just that. There's a lot of great shows on the network. I'm part of a few of them. I have my own show on that network. It's called Speaking with Judgment. I host it every Thursday at 6 p.m. Here on the West Coast. And, you know, I always have a special guest with me, usually someone from the network or someone from another network. And, you know, we just have a discussion about sports. And it's an hour of great sports talk. And you know, me and my guests, we just, you know, cover some of the different topics that's happening in the sports world. And, you know, we have a tremendous passion for it.
Now, Ricky from Corona, California texted. He said his favorite sports moment from the weekend was the Dodgers besting Kenley Jansen last night. Remember, he had a 2-0 lead and got two outs very quickly, struck out JT and the guy that followed him. And then they had back-to-back hits. And then, of course, Trace Thompson had a line drive off the glove of Olsen to tie the game 2-2. The day before, KJ struck out the Dodgers, you know, on the ninth inning. And got to save 1-2-3. And so, in fact, in those two games, he struck out five consecutive Dodgers until they got some people aboard. And as you know, he has a very slow leg kick, so the Dodgers were stealing on him. So the Dodgers did some small ball, had three consecutive hits for two runs, got him out of the game, and eventually won. I thought that was a very big victory for the Dodgers because, as you know, they've struggled in one-run games this year, and I think that was their first game they'd won in extra innings. In fact, in the last two seasons, they've had trouble winning one-run games and extra-inning games. So they came back and did a little small ball, did a good job, and they had a runner at second in both extra innings. They had a deep drive to right center in both innings and moved the runner from second to third. Then you had runners on there like, Turner, guys that can run. Obviously, CT is fast, Lux. Actually, Lux got it going with two outs in the ninth with a base hit to right, and then you had Chris Taylor with the base hit. But at any rate, I thought it was a good victory because they hadn't done a lot of hitting for a game and a half, and they came back and scored late, something they don't do a lot. And then, of course, Atlanta's a very good team. Won a World Series last year, and anytime you can win two out of three on the road, it's a big-time series. So kudos for the Dodgers. And it looked like Roberts was really happy after victory, too, because Dave doesn't show a lot of emotions, but they showed him after the final out. He was pretty pumped up. He doesn't normally get that way, you know, in a regular season game. The Doc, Dave Roberts.
Right, exactly. And, you know, what we saw over the weekend was a potential NLCS matchup. You know, there's a possibility that the Dodgers could meet the Atlanta Braves once again in October. And, I mean, it's looking that way. And you know, this series had a very compelling storyline with Freddie Freeman returning to Atlanta, where he used to play. And I mean, you know, he wore his emotions on his sleeve. You know, this guy was fighting back tears every time he stepped up to the plate. And, you know, he was greeted by the fans. He was well received, as I thought he would be, you know, because the fans there, they loved him. You know, he had become a household name. He was a popular figure in that city. And, you know, it was just emotional for him. And, you know, I think, you know, the Dodgers can build on a serious victory like this one. You can definitely build on this. And hopefully this is a turning point where they can get on track. They can win a significant amount of games moving forward, you know, because this Dodger team, Mark, is just too talented. They're too good to ignore, you know, and they have the hitters. That's not an issue. It's just doing the little things like you alluded to moments ago. And I think that's what we saw yesterday. They you know, they were aggressive on the bases. They did all the little things. It's not always about hitting the home run ball. And I know sometimes the Dodgers rely on that heavily. They live and die by the home run. But just slap a hit into the field, move runners over station to station, and hope for something good to happen, you know. And I think that's the Dodgers just need to focus on doing that. And if they do, they'll be fine, you know. But there's no question that this is one of the best teams in all of baseball, and we saw that particularly in yesterday's game. And that was a great time to do it. Timing is everything, because it's going into the next series. And also, you were on ESPN, so the game was nationally televised. Everyone was able to see the Dodgers and the Braves go at it, and the Dodgers came away with a very important victory in the late innings. That was awesome. You know, and, you know, this is something that we saw from the Dodgers in the past. You know, they were able to find that late inning magic, you know, and it looked like they had that late inning magic yesterday, as we saw. And, you know, hopefully that continues. And, you know, as far as Kenley Jensen, that was a problem when he was with the Dodgers. You know, he was shaky and erratic and didn't always have his best stuff on the mound. And in moments where the Dodgers needed him to be at his best so they can, you know, secure the victory. You saw that yesterday with Kenley Jensen once again.
Well, you know, Craig Kimbrell has not been really that great. His ERA is over four, so I think KJ's actually had a better season than Craig Kimbrell. But as you mentioned, Jansen had some problems against the Giants last year in big games, and he's had a solid career, a lot of saves, still a very good pitcher, but that one weakness, and he can't do anything about it, he has a high leg kick. And so the Dodgers have been running very effectively this year. When you have a healthy Mookie Betts and you have Trey Turner, CT, you have Gavin Lux, you have about five guys in that lineup that are very – Cody Bellinger, you got five guys that can run very well, and they could all steal bases.
Right.
This Dodger team is one of the faster baseball teams I've seen in Major League. So, like you said, they don't have to rely on the home runs, and they're really not. Their home runs are down from what they used to be. Mookie, you know, number one on the team, he hasn't played for a couple of weeks, and they definitely need Mookie Betts back. You don't replace a guy like Mookie Betts, and especially defensively. Trace Thompson's done a good job, and the other guy, Alvarez, but they're not Mookie Betts. They don't hit like him. They definitely don't feel like him. That's where you lose him, is those abilities to make those great plays down the right field corner, you know, diving catches into the stands, and, of course, he has that gun for an arm. So Mookie's influence, he has a leadership, but he does everything well on the baseball field. So you can get by without Mookie for a while, but you're not the same team over the long haul without Mookie Betts, and you need him. You need a healthy Mookie Betts to do anything in the playoffs and to get to the promised land because of what he brings to the table. He was having like an MVP season. Of course, you know, Trey Turner's having a great year. Was 0 for 5 yesterday, got that big hit to give him a two-run lead late. Freddie Freeman had a couple of hits. Of course, he had the hit that put him up, I think, by a run in the extra innings, made it 3-2 before Atlanta came back. Now, but three guys, longtime veterans, that again paid fairly well are having, you know, not productive years. And that would be Max Muncy, that would be Justin Turner, and Cody Bellinger. And there's talk about the Dodgers parting ways with one of them, two of them, or all three of them. So do you think any of those three guys will be traded by the trade deadline this year? I'm talking about Justin Turner, Max Muncy, and or Cody Bellinger.
If one person go, I would think it would be Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger, I believe, if I'm correct, is entering the final year of his contract.
Right.
Yes. So his moving him makes more sense at this point. You know, and when you look at his play on the field, yes, he's doing excellent things in the outfield.
Yeah.
He's a great glove in the outfield, but he's not producing for you enough from behind the plate. And the problem with that is that this is a guy who likes to swing for the fences. I think when he's at the plate, he's over aggressive, and you
all
know he's trying to do too much, and that's the problem with him. He lacks discipline at the plate. I think the Dodgers move him at the trade deadline. If somebody goes, it's going to be Cody Bellinger. I don't see them keeping him around much longer, especially if he's not going to be productive from behind the plate, because that's been a huge difference for this Dodger offense too, is his lack of productivity from behind the plate. He's not really getting on base. He's not really putting the ball in play. When he comes up with runners in scoring position, he's either popping up or grounding out, or he's just swinging and missing. That's been the theme for him all season long so far. So I think if there's one guy that you shop around and that you move this before this trade deadline, I think it will be Cody Bellinger, because again, he's in the final year of his contract, and he's gonna definitely get some offers in free agency, no doubt.
But Cody Bellinger hit 160 last year. He's hitting 215 this year with 9 home runs, and of course,
right. Here's
a guy that was rookie of the year, had 39 home runs his rookie year, had 47 home runs, and he won the MVP. But the second portion of that year, the MVP season, he didn't hit that well. In fact, the first 2.5 months, he was hitting over 400. And I think he led the league in about 8 or 9 offensive categories. In fact, he was like almost challenging Babe Ruth and Barry Bonds stats over the first 2.5 months of that particular year. And he's never been the same since. And for a guy that has the great speed, you would think that every once in a while he does it where he hits the ball to the opposite field, which would be left center field or down the line. And just like Turner or Mookie Betts or CT, those guys hit the ball into the alley. They have an automatic double. Or Gavin Lux. So all those,
right.
those five guys have that kind of speed where they could. It's an automatic double for them. And so, Lux,
right.
I'll say there's a guy that's improved a lot. He's had some criticism for his fielding. But he made some nice plays yesterday. And he's hitting about .285. He only has 2 home runs, 18 RBIs, but he's moving up in the lineup. So that's a guy right there. He's improved a lot this year. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star yet, but he's still very young. But he's made a lot of progress this season, Gavin Lux. I've been impressed with his play. He's gotten better. Another guy who I thought should have been playing like an all-star and hadn't been until June came along is the catcher, Will Smith. Will was hitting down to about 227 as of, late May. Now he's up to about 262, hit the ball with power, driving in runs. Hit the ball to the opposite field. You saw him yesterday, long drive to right center to move the runner from second to third base. Doing a better job defensively, too. There's a guy that, like I said, potentially is an all-star. He's pretty good on both sides of the plate. He's playing like the Will Smith I thought he should be this month. He's got to keep it up. Of course, Freddie Freeman is Mr. Consistency. He can have big games anytime. Turner's been great at short. Justin Turner is driving in runs, but he's not hitting the ball that well this year. But he's still pretty good in the clutch, but he's an older player. So how long you want to keep him? CT strikes out too much, but he's still a very good hitter in the clutch, as evidenced by Tuich yesterday. And the other guys are kind of filling in there. But, when you talk about the Dodgers and Walker Buehler, whether you want to say he's their number one, number two, or number three pitcher, is out for an extended time. We don't know if he's coming back this year. That hurts the team. Haney came back for one game, then he had a sore shoulder, so they actually pitched a reliever in his place. Kershaw's come back. He's pitched well. Tony Gonsolin has been just unbelievable this year. Anderson's been very solid. He was a little shaky his last outing. I think Gonsolin has more of a chance to be great than Anderson. And then you have your bullpen, Daniel Hudson, your number one setup man who's out for the year with an ACL. That hurts. And Craig Kimbrell, who you thought would be this dynamite closer, has not been dynamite. His ERA is about 4.4. He's not quite the pitcher he used to be. He would get close to 100 miles per hour back in his heyday with Atlanta, and now he's topping out maybe 95, 96. And it seems like every time he pitches, he gets into trouble. And it's almost like a chance. When he comes to the game, I get nervous. I don't get nervous the rest of the game. I was watching yesterday. He'll always give up a hit or hit the first batter or two of the inning. It's never like a 1-2-3 inning. But, see, he and a lot of guys, you got to give them a 2-run lead. I don't trust him. I didn't trust Jansen with a 1-run lead in the 9th or 10th inning, because I always figured the other team's going to score. But hopefully Blake Treinen can come back at some time, maybe after the All-Star game. He's been out for a while. Dustin May is on his way back, the big redhead. as a starter, maybe short reliever. He hasn't pitched in about a year. A guy with so much promise, and we don't know how fast he could throw, but he's been throwing in the bullpen. And let's see who else. I thought Gratterall looked good yesterday. He looked consistent. The day before, he gave up a two-run home run. And it always seems like the announcers are enamored with Brewster's speed. He'll come in and throw 101, 102 miles per hour, but the fact is they still hit him. So the whole key with him is not so much how fast he throws, is where he throws it, and what kind of movement he has on the ball. He's not really a strikeout pitch for a guy who throws hard. He gets guys to hit the ball on the ground. So he did very well yesterday. They came back from his allowing the two-run homer to a very good hitter the day before, Gratterall. Do I think he's ready to be a setup guy? Not necessarily, but he is a setup guy right now as it stands until Trinan comes back. Or, you know, Mitch White, you got another guy who's done really well for them. So sometimes their bullpen's been shaky. Other times it's been very good. I think the starting pitching has been very solid when you consider the guys that have been out this year. More of the problem has been hitting for the Dodgers up and down. They've been very strong the first three guys in the lineup. And at the end of the lineup, they've been bad 4, 5, and 6, or 4, 5, 6, and 7. And I like the move when Mookie got hurt. They put Smith at number 3. I don't really like Muncy being at 4 because Muncy comes up a lot with a rally going on. He kills a rally by striking out. And he's only hitting 160. Right. Why do you put a 162 hitter at number 4? I put Smith and CT at 3-4, or you know, and I would move Gavin Lux.
They're more of a cleanup like hitter. They're more of a cleanup like hitter, and I agree with you. I think you gotta go with the guy who's swinging the bat, you know, and who's hot.
Well, maybe it's like a strategy type thing with Roberts. He wants guys to be on base for the guys at the top of the order. So it's kind of a strategic thing for him. I'm not really. I kind of see where he's come from, Coach Roberts, but in the other sense, it's been a problem the entire year. 4, 5, and 6, or 4, 5, 6, and 7. So you got your top three that are very good, excellent. You got your bottom two or three that are very good, but the guys in the middle, they're the ones that come up with a chance to drive in runs, and that's why you're not scoring a lot of runs because they kill rallies. I know about killing rallies. I used to bat in those order in JC, and I remember a few times, Jonathan, nothing worse, Jonathan, than coming up twice in an inning and getting out twice. Maybe you strike out once or hit a double play or you ground out, pop up. And everybody else is either getting a hit, walking, or getting on base. And I think it happened to me once or twice in JC. You talk about a lonely feeling. Everybody else is hitting the ball. I come up, make the first out and the last out of the inning. I mean, how embarrassing.
Yeah,
not quite as embarrassing as getting on first base, getting picked off, but almost as embarrassing as that.
That's deflating, very. And, you know, sometimes that's the kind of – that those type of slumps are striking out twice in one game. That's what shrinks your confidence level a lot of times, you know. And you see that with players quite often. You see that quite often with players. You know, that they have to regain their confidence because they, you know, they fall into a massive slump. They can't, you know, figure out a way out of it. You know, it happens, and that's just how the game of baseball is.
Well, you know, speaking about a guy who's betting on himself this year, when he's healthy, he's a great player, fantastic athlete. It's you know, speaking about Judge, Mr. Aaron Judge of the Yankees. Had a walk-off three-run home run yesterday, his 28th of the year. Had a walk-off single in Game 1 against Houston. They split with the Astros. The Astros held the Yankees hitless for 16 innings in that series. They have that combined no-hitter, and then they held the Yankees hitless for the first 7 innings yesterday, and the Yankees exploded. And so, you know, the Astros and Yankees may meet in the playoffs. And as you and I know, we don't really care for the Astros, but they're still a very good team. Now, they got good hitters, as you know. They're very good in the clutch, and they give the Yankees a lot of fits. They give them a lot of fits. They're not intimidated by the Yankees like a lot of other teams. They're a tough team. No. Anytime you have Jose Altuve on your team leading the way, watch out. They also got some other pretty good hitters in their team. Dusty Baker, our man, is the head coach, Mr. Cool. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, here's with me. I don't care for the Astros, but I like Dusty Baker. So it's not like I wanted to see them fall on their face because he's their coach. He has nothing to do with what happened prior to his arrival. You know, he's a great player for the Dodgers, played with Atlanta, was coached with the Giants, Washington. you know, Dusty's a first-class guy. And say one thing about Dusty, he comes in, he kind of settles things down. And if you remember about a week ago, a player on his team had a home run. And Dusty didn't like the fact that the guy stared when he hit the ball into the upper deck. The player on his team just kind of stared and watched it for 5 seconds. And Dusty afterwards says, I'd prefer he run around the bases. He goes, back in my day, the next batter would be plucked. And I know what Dusty's talking about. See, Dusty doesn't like all that kind of crap. He doesn't like that staring balls down. He doesn't like all that rah-rah. It comes from a different era. And so guys can be who they are. Well, yeah, guys going to be who they are. They're going to be. Right. He doesn't like when guys. You know, he doesn't like when guys try to show up other players. That's what he's trying to say. And I understand it. And I want to ask you about the Mariners and the Angels. The brawl yesterday looked pretty bad. You know, on TV, and two teams under 500. My question is, why are you throwing at Walsh? Throwing at his head, left-handed batter for the Angels, and why are you throwing a high fastball up and in to Mike Trout? Now, it didn't hit him in the helmet. He got out of the way. You don't throw at Mike Trout when you're playing at Angel Stadium. I mean, that's just stupid. And then the Angel pitcher throws at Winker, who that guy is, but he hit him on the thigh. He didn't throw it at his head. I don't have any problems with pitchers throwing high and tight to players. I do have a problem with their aiming at the head or the helmet, especially Mike Trout. Trout's like Freddie Freeman. I mean, they're two of the nicest guys in baseball. I mean, great players. They're talking to guys on the other team, patting guys on the button on the other team, and they don't make any waves. They just kind of go out there, do their job, MVP players, great guys. Nobody says anything bad about Trout or Freddie Freeman. So it's sort of like, why would you throw a fastball at Freddie Freeman's head when he's up there? I mean, it doesn't make sense. But at any rate, Winker went to the Angels dugout, and he sought out Anthony Rendon. He's not even playing right now. He's out for the season. It's like, why are you fighting Rendon? Then he goes back to his dugout and he's flipping off fans. And like I was telling some people, I don't know what the fans said to him. And I'm not condoning what he did. But you and I both know that, especially in the NBA, fans say a lot of stuff they probably shouldn't say to players. But in basketball, fans are closer to the action. The court is smaller. Players can hear what the fans say. They're right there on the court. Baseball, they're farther away because you have your diamond, then you have your foul grounds and everything. So, and I don't condone what he did, but, you know, they could have said some things to him. I don't really know. But one guy said he should get a 30-game suspension. I'm thinking, I don't think he should get a 30-game suspension. They'll look at it. I mean, I don't know if they suspend him or not. But, no, I have too much. He didn't use his bat and try to beat up anybody. There was a lot of guys that were throwing punches. They'll look at the film of that and see what's going on. I mean, eight guys were thrown out. So you may have a couple-game suspension, but as long as nobody takes a bat and beats somebody over the top of the head, I guess you're okay. But here's the whole thing. You know, I'm not always for the players. I know some fans can be kind of rude and say things. But as a player, you can't go into the stands. You can't go into the stands. He did apologize and say, I know there are women and kids there. I apologize for that. But I'm not apologizing for anything else. That's what he said. If I was Winker, I would have said I was wrong on all accounts and move on from there. That's what I would have said.
Yeah.
Don't act like an ass out there on the field. I didn't know there was a rivalry between the Mariners and Angels. I didn't know there was one. I mean, it's not the Red Sox and Yankees or Dodgers and Giants. I haven't seen a brawl like that for a while. Mostly baseball guys, you know, jump over the bullpen fence and they run out there like they're going to do something, and they stand around and start talking. These guys, a lot of them are just going at it, and I couldn't figure out why. It was a very competitive series. The neither team is really going anywhere. The good thing is that Trout and Ohtani were not hurt. If the guys like Trout and Ohtani, they're probably not going to be in the middle of things like that. Why?
Right.
I mean, why would a star player be in the middle of a brawl like that? Well, guys can hit you from all angles. You don't even know who's hitting you. Have you ever tried to break up a fight? Now, you're an educator at school. I don't know if you have any fights, but when you try to break up a fight, you're the one who gets punched. Sometimes girls fight more lethal than guys sometimes in grade school. Some of those girls in grade school, junior high, they could be worse than guys. Their mouth and the way they fight. I'm not saying that's the case at all schools, but it's like, I ain't getting in the middle of two girls or two women fighting. Are you kidding me? No way.
Right, right.
Get the water hose and spray them or something like that. whatever is decent. I don't know. I'm not getting in the middle of that. No way. Or even guys in junior high fighting. I'm going to get in the middle. That's why you have security guy. Call a cop. Mm-hmm. Or call some big guy. Call some big guy can take about 10 punches and it won't even affect him. I'm not jumping in the middle of that and getting sucker punched by somebody like that. It's not really worth it. It's not really worth it. Because so we talked about that deal. I wanted to ask you, I mentioned about Judge, 28 home runs this year, 56 RBIs, having a great season, mm-hmm. hitting about 300, has had a lot of walk-offs. I mean, the Yankees are the best team in baseball right now. But, of course, they've only played 73 games, 53-20. When the Dodgers won in 2020, they were 43-17 during the regular season. Of course, they won it all. The whole thing with the Yankees, will their pitching hold up? It's held up fairly well. They've been healthy. Most of their players have been healthy. But the Yankees, if you look at them, don't have a deep lineup from top to bottom, the batting lineup. Judge is having a great season. Rizzo has a lot of home runs and RBIs, but he's only hitting about 240. Stanton, my stud there, is hitting about 245. He's come back from injuries. He crushed one to right center yesterday. He's got to stay healthy. He's 40-some RBIs, over 20 home runs. LeMahieu, kind of having a down year, but up to about 265. He had a home run the other day. But up and down the lineup, it's like you have on a lot of teams in baseball this year. A lot of guys have low averages. You see a lot of players hitting under 240 in major leagues. It's not because right. they have a lot of home runs, but batting averages are down this year a lot. And so you look at some players in the Dodgers, and Muncy's like 162, and JT's maybe, I don't know if he's 210, 215. And I think Bellinger is going to stay. Bellinger is going to be between 215 and 225 for most of the year. I don't see him coming out of it. I see JT coming up a little bit. Muncy, I think Muncy at the best would be 190. Because the more games you play, your average is not going to come up that much. And I don't think you're going to see Muncy go 16 for 20. When your average is that low, you've got to really be hot for about 2 or 3 weeks at a time for it to come up. I just don't think he's going to hit her to do that. In the past, he had a lot of home runs for them, but he always hit over 200. He's not a batting average hitter. So I don't know what they're going to do with Muncy, Turner, and Bellinger, two left-handed batters and a right-handed batter. JT, most RBIs in playoff history for the Dodgers. Probably keep him around. He's a good leader. He still has a pretty good glove. I don't think they'll get rid of all three of them. Maybe one of the three, two out of three. But if you get rid of Bellinger, you got to get something that can play center field pretty good, because Cody's one of the best defensive players in the league.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Chris Taylor's
not
as good. Mookie can play center. Chris Taylor can play center. But Mookie plays center.
Yeah, but
center,
if you put
right.
Mookie out there, you want to protect Mookie as much as you can, because if you put Mookie in center, that's more wear and tear on the center fielder's body. The center fielder has more ground to cover.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I would like him in center. Just like that's how I felt when AJ Pollock was here. I didn't like him playing the center field. I felt he was a better option in left or right, because if you put him in center, and you know how injury prone he can be, that's a lot on his body. So I don't know if I like Mookie in center, but now that you brought that up about Bellinger, wow, yeah, his like I said, he's more valuable for his defense. I think that's where he plays a more critical role on that Dodger team. But as far as his bat, I wish he'll get going offensively. That's what you want from Cody Bellinger. You want him to get going offensively. You want his average to come up a bit. You want him to score with runners in scoring position and drive in runs, and that's what you're not getting from him.
Well, he's 6'4". He's very fast. You've seen him cover ground in the outfield. He can reach over the fence and make the plays. He was playing shallow yesterday. There was a ball that hit deep when Kimbrel was pitching, bases loaded, and he caught the ball about 2 feet in front of the fence. He got back on it very quickly. He's an excellent outfielder, and he has a very good arm like Mookie. Chris Taylor can play any position in the outfield, but probably better in left field. The left field's kind of the easiest position of the three. You don't want to put Lux in center or right field because he's a natural infielder, and he hasn't played enough of that position. Gavin's okay in left, but they made a mistake of putting him in center field. I think it was last year in the playoffs. And some of those games were, the late afternoon games. And you know how hard it is to see the ball in right center or right field at Dodger Stadium. The one ball was hit really deep to right center, and he kind of lost it. And I think he fell into the fence, or the ball hit against the fence, and the other team scored a couple of runs. It wasn't Gavin's fault. you only play like one or two games in center field in a high-pressure game. Dodger Stadium's not a good place to play at certain times of the day in right center or right field. Mookie Betts knows how to play the position because he's Mookie and because he knows the dimensions of the stadium. Mookie's going to make those plays to his right. He's going to jump over the fence, make catches. He's very good, the best on the team as far as going to the line, right field line, and making diving catches, or going across the line and reaching to the seats and making catches. The other guys can't do that. Thompson can't do that, neither can Alvarez. The one thing
because
they don't play, and they're not as athletic as him. So on certain plays,
he looks bad in right. He has no business being in right. He looks terrible.
Well, the problem with him, they played him in that one game. It was a sun-drenched game when they put him in, and so he was fighting sun. I think he lost the ball in the sun the first time. The next time he barely picked it up. But he it's timing. You talk about timing. He was playing right field at the wrong time. Number two, he was replacing Mookie Betts. And that's not going to be good for anybody. So it was not the right game to play him in right field. And then he's replacing Mookie. If you give him two or three games, he's going to do a better job. He's not going to be like Mookie Betts. So guys, you don't replace. You don't replace Mike Trout. You don't replace Freddie Freeman. You don't replace Trey Turner. We can go on down line other teams. As of right now, I mentioned I thought Yankees were the best team in Major League Baseball right now, and the Dodgers, I think, are, you know, around their second, but there's a lot to go. Yankees 53-20, Red Sox 11 back. Red Sox have won 8 out of 10. They're 42-31 in the American League East. The Twins kind of, you know, 41-33, two games ahead of the Guardians and the AL Central. Both teams 5-5 in their last 10. AL West, the Astros 45-27. Rangers, you know, 10.5 back. That's the Astros division right there. I don't know if anybody else can be over 500. Houston 7-3 their last 10, and the Rangers 5-5. We head to the East, and the Mets had a very solid year. I guess Scherzer, you know, coming back to the fold. 6-4 their last 10, 47-27. The Braves have only lost about 5 games in June. 42-32, 5 back, 5-5 in their last 10. Brewers have had a pretty good last couple of weeks. Winning 7-10, Cardinals 4-10, the Brew Crew at 42-33, the Cardinals 41-34 in the National League Central. The Dodgers, 7-10, they've won, 45-26. Padres 2 back, 45-30, but 4 more losses than the Dodgers. They played 4 more games, and the Pods at 4-6. Of course, Machado's out for a while, and Tatis Jr. is still not returned for San Diego. So, you know, the Padres really have done a good job this year. I think thanks to very good starting pitching. You look at the lineup, you know, Machado was having a great start, and Cronenworth kind of had a down year, and Hosmer was having a solid year. But outside of really Machado and Hosmer, nobody else is doing a lot. So it amazes me they're even 45-30 because they're missing two superstars. I mean, Tatis is one of the best players in baseball when he's healthy. And same with Machado. Well, the Dodger fans like
Machado,
him. He's a great athlete.
Machado's having,
he's a great athlete.
Machado's
you know, he
looking,
makes great plays at third. Yeah.
Right. Machado is unsurprisingly making a case for MVP. I mean, because when you look at the National League, the MVP is wide open right now. You know, Paul Goldschmidt, his numbers are up there. You see Manny Machado, his numbers are up there. You look at what other guys are doing in the National League, and I mean, I think the race is going to be tight and close for the National League. For the AL, I think Aaron Judge is running away with that one.
Here come the judge.
All rise.
Hey, did you ever hear the Yankees announcer when he hit the home run? Yes, he goes, "See ya."
Yeah, always says that.
That shot, he goes,
Michael K.
See ya.
Michael K.
Yeah.
Michael K. always says that. That's his famous
signature.
Quote. See,
well, I was watching the Dodger game. I was watching the Dodger game on ESPN. I was watching the Dodger game. You had Alex Rodriguez and John Kay, and they were in the studio in New York, and they were like just talking about the games that was going on. So I'm watching the game, and I'm hearing them, and they're talking to Tony Danza. Remember the former actor? And he was a boxer back in the time, you know. So, yeah, he's a,
right.
you know,
and
he's
he also
lived in LA
Angel,
for a long time.
Also,
good friend of Tommy Lasorda. He showed a picture of he and Tommy Lasorda. So talking to him for a while. Then they talked to that former pitching coach for the Braves. I think his name is Mazzoni. They showed pictures of him with Greg Maddux and guys like that. So that was kind of interesting TV as far as watching A-Rod and the other guy kind of talking to other people during the game and just talk about Freddie Freeman and different things going on. So I kind of liked it. I don't really like more than two people as analysts. Two is fine with me, I guess. So Alex has a big-time boat. And so they were showing all the places Alex had been the last 2 weeks. Alex Rodriguez has been all over the world sailing over the past 2 weeks. I guess he just got in the day before he went on the air. And the other guy, John Kay, goes, well, Alex, this is where I've been the last 2 weeks. St. Petersburg, Florida twice, Comiskey Park, Wrigley Field, you know, Tampa Bay, blah, blah, blah. It's not very exciting. And Alex Rodriguez has been to all these exotic places across the world. So I'm sure he has more than one boat. But it was just kind of interesting they were talking about that. But I like their analysis of the games and things like that. Jonathan, before we go, we're running out of time. I want to ask you, you've been doing the Southern Cal Sports Chronicle for quite a long time.
Yes.
You write a lot of sports articles and everything. That's kind of been like a thing that you love to do. In 1 minute, describe what it's all about, the Southern Cal Sports Chronicle.
Well, it was originally a site that I started to cover L.A. sports. I have decided that I would branch out again. So now I'm covering sports from a national landscape now, which has been more exciting for me because, you know, I like to cover the big stories. I like to get the big stories out there. I like to, write about all sports. And, you know, I've written articles about the Mets this season. I've written articles about the Celtics and the NBA Finals. I've written stuff about John Morant. So it's not only about L.A. sports anymore for me. It's more about everything that's happening in the sports world, really. And that's what my focus has been on. And that's what I do over there. I try to provide the best commentary for all sports fans out there. And if you guys want to check it out and you guys want to read some of my work, you guys are more than welcome to check it out. SoCalChronicle.com. That is SoCalChronicle.com.
I want to ask you one last question before you go. Will LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook all be on the Lakers this upcoming season? Will all three of them remain with the Lakers?
Oh, man. Yeah, as of right now, I think so. I know last season was a disaster. I don't expect this upcoming season to be any better because these three have showed us that they can't work together as a team. You're not winning many games with Russell Westbrook on your roster. He's a chemistry destroyer, and we saw that last season, and this team had no chemistry. They didn't play with a sense of urgency. They didn't play with a lot of heart. They just didn't play as a team. They didn't prioritize team play. And that was a big thing that held the Lakers back last season and why they couldn't, you know, reach the playoffs because of that and because of the fact that Russell Westbrook still refuses to alter his play. He's not going to adjust his style of play. He's going to be who he is. And there's no way of changing that. But I think these guys together for another season, see how they play under Darvin Ham. I mean, Darvin Ham is walking into what is a very, very difficult and perplexed situation. He's taking on a job that is not only very demanding, but that's very stressful. And a job that, you know, is not going to be easy. I mean, look, this is a man who's walking into a dumpster fire. And, I mean, it's going to take some time for the Lakers to, you know, get it together. And the only way I think they're going to get it together, Mark, before we go, is by rebuilding. But the sad thing is, my friend, the Lakers don't have enough patience for a rebuild.
Hey, Jonathan, sorry to cut in, but we got to go. But thanks so much for being on the program today. We went past our time, and we could have talked another hour. Jonathan Mathis, thanks
absolutely.
A lot for being on Markman Madness. And our show is on next week, Tuesday, July 5th, from 6 to 6:30, 6 p.m. to 6:30 next Tuesday here. Markman Madness on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Mark Heffernan. get in touch with me at markheff20@gmail.com. Mark Mancini is our producer. God bless you. I will talk to you next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. MMM. Good night.